Welcome to Awaken Calls. Every Saturday, we host a conversation with an individual whose inner journey inspires us and whose work is transforming our world in large and small ways. Awaken Calls are an all-volunteer-run offering of ServiceSpace, a global platform founded on the simple principle that by changing ourselves, we change the world to create a more compassionate and service-oriented society. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is David, and I'm really excited to be your host for our weekly Global Awaken Call today. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. The purpose of these calls is to share stories that help to plant seeds for a more compassionate society while fostering our own inner transformation. And the way we do this is by holding a collective conversation with guest speakers from all walks of life, people who really inspire us to live in a more service-oriented way. And behind each of these calls, there's an invisible team of service-based volunteers who really help to hold the space. Today, we're honored to have a special guest who's with us today, Oscar Perez Marcos. Thanks again for joining the call, and let's just start off with a minute of silence to anchor ourselves into the space. Thank you, and welcome again to our weekly Awaken Call today in conversation with Oscar Perez Marcos. As an all-volunteer offering, each Awaken Call is a conversational space that's actually co-created by many invisible volunteer hands. So behind these faces is actually many more. In a few minutes, our moderator, Jayesh Goyal, will begin by starting our initial conversation with Oscar. And by the top of the hour, we'll actually open that up to a circle of sharing and invite each of your reflections and questions. And just so you know, at any time, you can submit a question or a comment via the webcast on our live stream page, or you can also send us an email at ask@servicespace.org. Please note that if you're watching the live stream from the designated web link, you can make the video full screen by hitting the marked button on the right corner of the video box. And if you want to return to the web page to submit a question, you can click the same bottom right button or hit your computer's escape key to exit full screen mode. And just as a friendly reminder that I think we've all become familiar with in the past few months, we're operating in a virtual space with the usual constraints of technology, you know, overloaded bandwidth, audio issues, and so on and so forth. So things can and will go wrong. So please just know that if there's a technological glitch or any other issue with one of the active speakers, we'll do everything that we can to get them back online as soon as possible. And so we ask for your understanding ahead of time. Thank you for that. So I'd like to introduce Jayesh, our moderator today. Jayesh is the Senior Vice President at Agreco, and he has more than 25 years of management experience in the high tech sector, primarily in renewable energy and software. And his passion is really in helping companies use cleaner energy. And he also has been a volunteer for several years in a few nonprofits, notably on the board of Search Inside Yourself Leadership Institute, which is an organization that makes mindfulness accessible to all. And also as a volunteer and on the advisory board of Sunday Friends, which is an organization that helps low-income families in the San Jose area. So Jayesh is going to introduce our special guest today and get the ball rolling on this case conversation. Jayesh, over to you.
Thank you very much, David, for that kind introduction. Good morning, everyone. It's my great pleasure today to introduce our guest, Oscar Perez Marcos. Oscar is a speaker and connector, and his purpose in life is really to help raise critical awareness and help people make changes in their lives that then transform societies. So his passion is all about developing change makers. He designs social experiences that help people to develop their potential, their human potential. He is the co-founder of Ola Ghana and also the founder of the Social MBA. He's written several books, The Theory of Tinto, which we're going to hear more about this later in this call, and also A Path to the Soul. And Oscar travels a lot. He has lived in England, in the United States, in Germany, Ghana, in India. And right now, I think he spends his time between Colombia and Spain. So quite a world traveler. Also on the personal front, he and his wife have adopted a baby girl, Lucia, in Bogota. So I think there's a lot we can learn from Oscar today. And I'm really happy to have you, Oscar, on the call. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation and this invitation, and especially to the whole team on Service Space. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So Oscar, as we start this conversation, let's go back to the beginning in the sense of your early childhood. I mean, I've looked at your background and you're serving humanity in so many different ways. You're helping people also, helping them transform as well and enabling them to serve. So if you look back to your childhood and early experiences, was there something that you can point to or something in your environment perhaps that laid the seeds for this kind of life of service? Is there anything like that in your background?
Yes, when I remember my early days, with my twin brother, we usually spend the summers in a rural area in Spain. And this special place, this small village with just 8-10 people, was amazing for us for playing and especially for ride the bike and have this kind of freedom for the first time. So I have really good memories about that time. And I think it's escorting me, along the path, because I feel I was looking for this kind of freedom in different times later. And on the other hand, my mom was really close to us, and especially I remember her working a lot, working too hard every single day to take care of us and offer us the good quality of life. So this kind of two experience was really powerful. And when I just relax for a while and try to think about is the more important we live, around these few years in my childhood.
Yeah, that sense of freedom, I think, in childhood is something that we all yearn for, I think, in later life. So, I know you talked about later in life how you started rediscovering that freedom. So let's talk about that a little bit. You mentioned to me when we spoke a few other experiences in your life. You mentioned that when you were around 21, I think, you were separated from your parents. And then you did this very, very important journey for you. You went on a path on the Camino de Santiago. And I think you spent almost a month on that path and discovered a lot about yourself at the time. So speak to us a little about that, and especially like how those two experiences helped bring about this inner transformation.
Yes, for me was the Camino de Santiago especially was a really special moment, but before my parents get divorced, and it was so critical for us because I stayed with my mom. It wasn't fair for me, I was 16, 17, and I couldn't understand what's going on. He used to be married for, let's say, 30, 20 years, and now what's going on? And my brother just understand quickly, but for me it was hard. And I just decided to stop my relation with my father for almost 6 years or 7 years. We didn't meet each other. And I stayed with my mom, and I realized we couldn't pay the mortgage because we had really moved to a new flat. And it's the right moment for me to start my first business a few years later, around 2021. And I think it was just because of that, So now I am father, and I try to replicate the same, but without separating from my wife. I don't know how it can be replicated, this kind of a shock experience for somebody to empower and try to go ahead, So this was really, really important. And on the other hand, the Camino de Santiago was the perfect moment just for relax and think about for the next steps. You know, usually when I start working around 16, 17 with my dad, and later on I start working for my own and in several companies. And the point was, usually you get 2 weeks off on holidays in summer and 2 weeks off on Christmas time is the normal schedule, you know. But when you stop just for 30 days and you just break with everything and you just relax and think about yourself, it was so powerful for me, because especially the nature of the Camino de Santiago, you was walking, you know, for 30 days just in really nice places, and just I try to work most of the time alone, so you have a lot of time to think about, and I realized where I didn't want in my life, you know. I didn't find the solution or the right path to follow, but I understand I didn't want to work here or live somewhere or start another company like that, you know. So it was really powerful for me, and after that is my habit, my new habit. You know, I find spaces every single day for me to be alone and to be in solitude, and it's because of this early experience I have on the Camino.
I see. So tell me more about this journey on the Camino. You mentioned, like, you know, that you found what you didn't want in your life on this journey. As you were on that journey, you know, you also, I think, had said that you realized that there's a lot of baggage that people normally carry in their lives, and you realized that you can live your life very light, meaning that you had very few things that you needed on that journey. So speak to us a little bit more about that, you know, specifically what you discovered that one can live life without, and also talk to us a little bit about if on that journey there were some things that came to you around what you wanted to do with your life. So both of those things, if you could speak a little more about that.
Yeah, sure. The first point is just really easy to understand. You know, you just have to carry a backpack. So as light it can be, it's gonna be better. So I tried to bought the smallest one just to, because you usually carry a lot. You know, I hear a lot, I read before the path a little bit, and I say, okay, I'm gonna go with the smallest one. And it works for me, you know, because at the end of the day, the extra things was a book, you know, and a diary. I started writing in the Camino de Santiago, and the rest was just some clothes in order you can change yourself. But it was so powerful, because I used to live in a house with everything. After that, I moved somewhere, and I was living, for example, in UK for 8 months, on the US, and you used to have many things around. And after that, I realized I don't need anymore. You know, the more important is to be present on the moment, to try to make the right decisions, and try to have a space, but the space for you to have this kind of reflections. And what happened to me was is something, to be honest, I cannot explain really well, you know, something spiritual and really a great connections. So I feel that it was a, you know, a right place to stay at that specific moment. And along the way, I start thinking about my old experience, you know, in, for example, American Express, which is the success vision in for many young people. You know, you reach the top, you go to work in a multinational company with the suit, the tie, you earn money, you travel a lot. It was, for me, it was like I reached there, you know. I was dreaming with that a long time ago, and I reached the place, but it doesn't fulfill me at all. And I realized it doesn't mean the success for me, you know. So it was an empty place for me to stay. It was like, I can't believe it. I reached here, I have everything, but it's not here. And the other thing is, I was living in UK or in US, but I didn't feel it was the right place for me to stay. And these are the kind of thinkings I was having. And especially when I was working, I meet some people, and you try to have this kind of conversation with people. And I meet a group of girls who were volunteering in an NGO in Spain, and I really were, you know, like shocked. And I have my intuition say to me, oh, maybe it can be a next step on the volunteering stuff. You know, I never heard about that. I never think about that before, but I feel the signal, you know, and my intuition start to develop, I think, in this kind of decisions in the Camino de Santiago. And now I think I listen much more to myself.
Beautiful. I think you're very fortunate, Oscar, to also, you know, realize that to have that feeling early on in your life on that journey, to realize that, you know, all of the corporate success that you mentioned doesn't necessarily give you the fulfillment that you were seeking. So I understand how that started you off then on the journey of maybe going towards more of the life of service. When and how did this transformation come around saying, okay, it's not just me that has to do service, but I also have to help others discover a life of service. So speak to me a little bit about how that transformation happened and then how that led to the Hola Gana project.
Okay, what happened is after the Camino de Santiago, I was really organizing my trip to Africa because I wanted to follow these volunteering opportunities and go straight. And there was a breakthrough because my dad, I get on well with my dad after the Camino, you know, was so powerful for me to forgive him and forgive myself and have again the opportunity to restart, you know, from the beginning. And it was amazing. So it was a winning for me, you know, more important even the American staff, you know, the companies and that. And on the other hand, my dad, my mom, have a cancer, and I stay with her for a year, and it was a personal moment for me because usually I think a lot about me, myself, my start a business, start a job, trying somewhere. So for one moment I say no, it's not about me, it's about staying here. And it was so powerful because I am always grateful about have this wisdom to stop and think about my family. I don't know why, where it come from. Maybe the Camino was powerful for that, but I stay 1 year with my mom, almost 6 months when she was with the chemotherapy, and that was amazing. And especially with my grandmom who was living with us, you know, and actually she died along this time. She died on my arms because he got sick, and it was really powerful. It was a present for me, you know, to stay there and reevaluate the priorities and just stay at home and you know, go back to the family when they need it, you know. And after that, I just take my backpack and I moved to Ghana for a while. And in Ghana, it was a shock, you know. For me, the first thing is extreme poverty, you know, to see that reality. Me as a European, you cannot imagine that, you know, only on the TVs, on the documentaries, but you never see it by yourself. I was really shocked, you know, when I was in a slum in Accra, in the capital of Ghana, a mega slum, a lot of children around, the conditions are not really good for them to live there. It was too much, you know, but when you provoke that and you shock, I was shocked like that, and I start having conversation with local people and with leaders, it happened a really real transformation, you know, the priorities start to change, to happen. I realized there is an opportunity to serve in that community because I have this conversation with the local leaders, and it was happening that I meet the right people at the right time, you know. Especially I remember a woman, an African leader who was taking these children from this slum and offering them a different space to live and go to school and offer them some opportunities. And this kind of leadership, putting them in front, you know, and trying to fundraise money and get their resources to support that, it was so powerful and inspired me a lot. And that's the tipping point when I realized I want to do something. And after that, the situation was I wanted to replicate this kind of trip. Just even it's not gonna be a magic formula for everyone, you know. But I realized it was so powerful for me. The Camino, the traveling, the intercultural connections, the trip to another country, the meeting with social leaders, the extreme poverty. I wanted to design something including all of these issues to try to replicate and provoke that on normal people. I always say that I am working or trying to work against poverty, but the soul poverty. You know, I feel really poor when I was in my European style of life, and after Africa, everything changed. You know, and I realized many people in my country was living this this spiritual poverty, you know, this soul poverty, because they have everything, but they couldn't find a purpose. They couldn't orient them to serve, to the common good. So that's this kind of thinking provoked me to create the organization.
Beautiful. I just want to kind of slow down a little bit. And the reason I want to slow down is there's so much in what you said just now that is so beautiful. I think we should just take a little time to maybe slow down the questions and reflect on a couple of things that you've said. You know, there was two sentences in particular that you said that really made me want to go deeper. One was you talked about realizing that not everything was about you and your life. And it was more about just there being present for your family when they needed it, or being present in general for others. And I think that was an important change for you at the time that you had to spend looking after your mother and your grandmother and so on. That was something that you said that really, you know, stirred my heart in terms of, yes, that important realization. And then the second thing, you talked about the soul poverty that people mentioned that have, that, you know, that they may have all the material things in life, but they are poor in other ways, and that you are hoping to help them have experiences that kind of help them also make that transformation that you made. So let's just reflect on those two things for a second. Just, I'm just thinking about your life journey and how you came to these two important realizations. And I think many people in life, they go through difficult circumstances and it changes them in different ways, right? In some people, it might make them bitter or hurt. In some people, it might transform them to make them want to serve and so on. Maybe you can, I don't know if we can go a little deeper into how you felt emotionally, you know, both with these experiences, around what prompted you then to suddenly feel that it's all about service and helping others. Like, when did that, you know, what do you think helped you make that choice instead of some other choice that maybe of, you know, just being saying, well, there's so much misery in the world and I want to get away from it or do something different. Maybe you could talk to us a little bit more about that.
But I think it was important to realize, I traveled to Ghana first and after to India, you know, I was in Pondicherry for a while. And I have two reflections on these two trips, you know. The first one is, I understand in Ghana that reality can be transformed because of this conversation with social leaders and this project who are really touched and was there and they were offering opportunities to slum children, you know, that they live in extreme poverty and now they are studying in Europe in universities and coming back to try to help the community. And it was so powerful to feel that and to meet these kind of people. And on the other hand, in India, I realized I am the owner of my time, you know, and it was making sense for me to stay there. I was in a care center, you know, from the Missionary of Charity with a baby girl on my arms called Teresa. And they asked me just only one thing, please, can you sing a song for her before leaving her to sleep? We used to do that every single day. And now you are here as a volunteer, please just help us with that. And you can go away. And I stayed there one day and it changed my life, man, for a while. I stayed there, I go there every single day when I was living there. And I remember singing to Teresa in Spanish because I sound really bad. So that's a matter, it was so powerful. And I realized at the right time that I didn't have to start a business to go to US or to start a company or to work in a multinational. At that a time, it does make sense for me to stay there, sharing with others, you know? So with these two reflections, I start all again. And the point is, I can compare my life after and before. So it was so powerful. So I wanted to share that with some people. Of course, it's not a magic formula. You drink that and you're going to change yourself. But at the end of the day, there were some patterns, some systematic things I tried that maybe can work for others. You know, for example, some people, as you say, they have really bad experience or a tragedy or something and they wake up, you know. For me, it was a normal life. So nothing happened like that, you know. Even the separation, it doesn't was so hard, you know, in the meaning of violence or something. But it was a normal life. I could work. By the way, I was working as a waiter all of my childhood, when I was 20 to 25, and it was so powerful to start organizing yourself to survive in US or in UK or wherever. And it was so powerful for me just to have the opportunity to pay myself to travel, to make some dreams come true. And after that, when I connect the dots, I realized it was not only traveling for find a job or learn English, but to try to travel to make some changes on the people, you know. And now my experience are focused on these three moments: the extreme poverty, the connection with social leaders, and investment on a cooperation project. Straight, the volunteers are going there and invest in some of the NGOs, local NGOs we are working with. So these are the combinations I try to organize in an experience. And for me, is right now, I understand there are many global challenges, you know, for us as humanity, and we cannot solve as ourselves, you know, one by one, trying with our own companies. So I realize it's more about to creating the spaces and the community of change makers who can address some of them. You know, this is my dream, and I really believe you can train social leaders, because it's happened to me with some experience. So we are trying to design that, you know.
Wonderful. So this Ola Ghana organization that you have co-founded, can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, who are the kinds of people who come there, and what are the social experiments that you do with them? I mean, like, what kinds of things have you done to help them make changes in their own lives and help them basically make the decision to serve society as well? Speak to us a little bit more about the experiences people have when they come to Ola Ghana.
What happened to me is I experienced the opportunity to be a volunteer, no, an international volunteer, and I realized it was so powerful for me. I mean, I realized it is more powerful for the volunteers than for the community, especially when you are not many years but a short time, you know. So to be honest, I realized this is so selfish sometimes, but on the other hand, it's so powerful for people to go back to Europe and try to change the style of life. And on the other hand, I realized there were many NGOs doing this, in my opinion, you know, it's a personal opinion, but it's a poverty business, you know, because they send thousands of volunteers to many NGOs for a short period. And after that, nothing's happened, no project, not cooperation project along the years, because I was visiting many, and they are earning a lot of money because of this global gap year, you know, and this kind of experience for young people before they go to university. And at the end of the day, you didn't see transformation, but you see these NGOs making a lot of money, you know, and I realized that it was fair for me, and I tried to promote or replicate the volunteer experience in different way, you know, in the way we can fund money for